welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, good morning. Again, I'm filling in for Pastor Ed this week. My name is Carla Orgel. And before we get started this morning, I just want to draw attention. My dad does not know this is coming, but to a very special couple that is very near and dear to my family's heart. They come hail from my hometown where I was born and raised, and that would be because it's my dad. So my dad, Bill, and his wife, Kathy, can you just kind of wave your hands? Okay. So I want to take this time to honor my dad because he just closed a very near and dear chapter in his life this week, and I get a little teary about this. So as you can tell, I love my dad. And when I was growing up, and I know I've told stories about my dad and my growing up years from the pulpit here before. So as I've shared before, that my dad was the milk caller when I was growing up, and I loved being able to ride with him in the summers. So I loved being with my dad, and I loved being able to be on the milk truck with him. And he would go to the farmers, and he would pick up their milk, and he would take it back to the dairy. Except there was so much more to my dad's job than picking up the milk. These farmers waited for my dad. They loved him. He was their friend. He was their confidant. He was their sounding board. He was their mentor. He just showed love and care to them and encouraged them, and likewise with their children. So me, feeling privileged to not only be with my dad but be in this big milk truck, we would pull into the farmers' yards, and the kids would be running out of the house, or they'd be waiting at the milk house, or they'd be waiting in the driveway, because they knew that they could count on two things: a piece of juicy fruit gum, and just that my dad would give them attention, and he would just love them and joke with them and hug them or whatever was needed. So when my dad retired, at retirement age in his mid-60s, when he gave up being a milk hauler, he went on to be a school bus driver. And it just seemed only fitting. And so, of course, my uncle and my cousin owned the school bus line, and my cousin still does. But the year that my dad's brother passed away, my dad took on a new role with my cousin and his family, and that was being their second dad. So it was very special for all these years for my dad to be a part of being a school bus driver. But again, there was more than that. My dad loves kids, and he has loved on these kids for years, and he was the one that took them in the morning and took them in the afternoon and went to basketball games and volleyball games, and he was the bus driver. But he was so much more than a bus driver. He loved on these kids. He encouraged them. He was sad with them when they lost. He was cheering with them when they won. And these little ones getting on the bus, they just looked to him just for love as a dad, as a grandpa over these years. And so, and he was the one, I think I've told you in the past, that at the end of the school year, he was the one that before he took the kids home, he had to stop at the gas station and get them all a soft serve ice cream cone. So they, this past Wednesday, my dad said, "It's time to be done." And that did not set well with many children and many parents. There was lots of tears. It was a hard day, wasn't it, Dad? And so he said to me that, you know, maybe it's time for me to retire and have just a little bit more time to do things. I say that tongue-in-cheek because my dad is going to be 87 in July. So he thought maybe it was time to retire. So still going strong. And so my dad is also very active in his church in our hometown. He's third generation, so in many ways he's a patriarch of the church there. And he still volunteers much time there in the community. So he'll still be hanging around. But also, Dad, I remember you saying to me many years ago, he said, you know, Carla, I told the Lord that as long as he kept me healthy, I'd keep working for him. So, Dad, you got a lot of work to do yet. So I know that you're going to continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So just know that I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Mm-hmm. So. All right. So now get it together here. So this morning, we're going to go on a trust walk. We're going to go on a trust walk with the Lord. And if you've ever been on a trust walk, sometimes they've been good, sometimes they've been not so good. And really what it kind of means is that you're paired up with a partner, and one of you is blindfolded, and then you become the seeing eye person for that person that's blindfolded. And you inevitably are walking through an obstacle course or a rocky terrain or wherever, whatever is in front of you. And actually, to this day, you know, there's organizations that are using this, whether it's nonprofit, churches, even corporate, because the whole point is they're wanting their employees or their team members to really become a team, to really come together, to really trust each other, to connect each other, to work together. And so my first trust walk, just to give you a visual, was when I was in the seventh grade. And I, at our time, the churches in our area, they would come together, and we had just a one-day youth retreat. And so we would get to go to this retreat center, and we would just have to, you know, have a fun day together. So obviously, though, there was a lot of kids that we didn't know. So one of the things we had to do was go on a trust walk. And of course, now, I'm seventh grade. I am very shy, very bashful, very awkward. And I'm being told that I'm going to get paired up with someone I don't know. So I'm slightly terrified at that point. And it became horrifying when I got paired up with an eighth grade boy that I did not know. So this particular trust walk was one where we couldn't speak. We had to guide our blindfolded partner by touch, which becomes more horrifying when you're a seventh grade girl, eighth grade boy. And so, of course, you know, you're turning them to the right or the left, or you're tapping them their head, because we were, you know, on a rocky terrain, or you're kind of touching behind the knee to say step up or step down. So, you know, in the natural, when you're on a trail, this particular trail was not dangerous for me, who could see. Of course, I could see the rockiness and the steps and the curve and everything. But my blindfolded partner could not. Unfortunately for him, again, seventh grade girl, so bashful, so shy. I was so self-conscious and so inward, so self-focused that, of course, well, I made that step up, but he did not. So because I didn't let him know. So he tripped and fell. Now, I would like to say that I came to his rescue right away, but that didn't quite happen because, of course, I was so self-focused. I was mortified, embarrassed. But I did break the silence, and I said, I am so sorry. And, of course, praise God, he seemed more amused than annoyed. So we made it through the rest of the trail okay. Now, this boy has to trust me who has just tripped him. Okay, so then it comes my turn. I get to be blindfolded. Okay, seventh grade boy, eighth grade, or seventh grade girl, eighth grade boy. And I'm thinking, oh, it is so payback time. Depending on what his personality is, he may have looked at me like, okay, well, yeah, did she do that? Okay. Anyway, he was very gracious. And he walked me through the trail flawlessly. And really what came out of it, at least in that situation, was that he was trustworthy and I was not. So, but as I was spending time with the Lord and telling him, okay, I'm going to be filling in for Pastor Ed, what are you and I going to talk about today? And he brought that little scenario to mind and gave me a good visual, and hopefully for you too this morning, as we go on a, yay, I'm so good what I can do with technology here, trust walk with God. So in the Bible, I would say that probably one of the most popular verses on trust is this, and it's in Proverbs 3, actually 5 and 6, but I added on a little portion of verse 7 because you'll understand why in a minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I had to add on a little bit of verse 7 because I just thought this is too good. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Okay, thanks. Okay, got that. But I, you know, as you know, it's just good to look at different translations because sometimes different translation might have a little bit more clarity than another on a particular verse. And so I know that we've been kind of gravitating a little bit towards the newer version, which is called the Passion Translation. And it's simply called that because it just infuses passion into the world, into the word. And so I wanted to include that version of this same verse, which says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Verse 7a in this one, don't think for a moment that you know it all. Okay, point well taken. So, however, before we trust someone, we need to know that they're trustworthy. And sometimes we have to gain that trust, and we all fall short. Sometimes we lose that trust and have to gain it back. But with the Lord, we have to know, in order to be on a trust walk with him in this thing called life, we have to know that we can trust him. Is God trustworthy? Now, that may seem like a silly question or actually a derogatory question. You know, obviously, yes, he's God. He's trustworthy. Well, I would say that that is easy to say when things are going pretty smoothly. You know, when there's, you know, your routine hasn't been disturbed, nothing really going on major. You know, of course I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. But what about when you get that medical diagnosis, or you lose a loved one, or there's a financial hardship, or a broken relationship? Is it as easy to say, oh yeah, I trust the Lord? Or when you're in that situation that honestly you can't see a way out of, and even more so, you can't even see how God can get you out of that situation. It's not good. Is it as easy to trust him in those moments? Well, I had to hammer that out for myself, just in the things that have gone on in my life. And first of all, and I kind of wrote this to myself, but I reminded myself that we have God's word, okay? And many refer to his word, the Bible, as our instruction manual for life. And that is so true. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. But it also tells us about God. It helps us know God, to have a deeper relationship with him, because we can learn about him here. As the Holy Spirit guides us and we're reading the word, we're going to find out about him, his attributes, his character, his promises. And I wrote to myself, from the standpoint of understanding that God is trustworthy, we have to know that he is good, that he works everything together for good, for those who love him, that he is for us, that he is not against us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that his compassions never fail, that his loving kindness never ceases, that his faithfulness is great, that he is merciful, and that he is a God of peace, that he is unchanging, and that all of his promises are still yes and amen. That there is nothing that's too hard for him. We must know that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We must also know that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. We must know that he is the creator of all good things. We must know that he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. We must know that he loves us. We must know in our heart of hearts that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. While Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And how do I know all that? I read it in here. At the same time, excuse me, we must know what he cannot do and who he is not. He cannot go against his own word. He cannot lie. He cannot hate. He is not, let me emphasize not, he is not the author of pain. He is not the author of sickness, disease, and he is not the author of death. He is not the author of fear. There is no sin that he cannot forgive if confessed. While he is the author and creator of all that is good, Satan is the author of all that is evil. Remember when God created the heavens and the earth? The Genesis 1 tells you day 1, day 2, day 3, and it always ends by saying, and God saw that it was good. That was his original plan for this earth to be perfect, to be perfect. So therefore, it was not until the fall of man, when sin came into the world, that our perfect world and everyone and everything in it slowly began to crumble. It was then that death came into the world. It was then that the hurts of this world began to manifest. It was then that man was pitted against one another and against God. It was then, as it is now, that as Satan creates havoc in our world, he points his finger to God and tries to put the blame on him. While God did not author evil, he knew how to overcome evil with good. And he did it with Jesus. So is God trustworthy? In my Midwestern terms, you bet he is. He is trustworthy in good times and in bad times. And we have his word, and we have the cross to prove it. So I just want to look at, I just want to take that verse out of Proverbs 3, and I just want to cut it down into two sections. So the first half of it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And what I've done now on the PowerPoint, actually via Chelsea, thank you for helping me with the PowerPoint. She knows I'm technologically not so good. These verses kind of give us the words of what we can expect. It's the truth of what we can expect when we trust in the Lord. From Romans 15:13, it says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his super abundance until you radiate with hope. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. In those two verses, we know that we can expect, when we trust in him, joy, peace, hope, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Just a couple more verses. Excuse me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. We're blessed. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Again, perfect peace. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. No fear. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Refuge and fortress. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. We shall be safe. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is proven. He is a shield, excuse me, to all who trust in him. So he is our shield. He is our shield. And the second half of that verse is, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And here's just some more verses that just really shore up what that is saying. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Again, in trust. Again, let me say this, in full surrender. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And just a couple more that I couldn't skip. And to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And even if I say my foot slips, in other words, if I mess up, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. He will be my guide even to the end. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Amen. So, what does a trust walk with God look like? I just want to give you a couple examples so you can see real life what this looks like, as many of you already are. I'm just going to draw from my own recent experience. A week ago, I walked across the stage in Texas, and I received my college degree at age 55. When I started my college career, it was 1 month short of my 50th birthday back in 2014. Now, interestingly enough, the Lord led me to an old journal that I had. And if you would look at my journal, dated February 3rd, 2000, there was two words with a question mark, and it was directed to the Lord. College courses? Question mark. 14 years. Now, in 2000, I would have had an 8 and a 10-year-old, and I remember, you know, the Lord just very much, I just felt in my spirit, Carla, it's not going to happen until your kids are grown up. I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that. But you know, over time, you still need that reassurance, don't you? When you feel like you've gotten a word from the Lord, but you still, are we still on track, Lord? Are we heading in that direction? Or should I just, you know, forget that completely? And, you know, sometimes it gets put on the back burner, but then you feel like it maybe fell off the back burner and it totally, you know, gotten forgotten by the Lord. Yeah, this is my brain working. But then when our youngest went off to college, that was in 2011. And again, there's this three-year span before I actually started. And again, I'm going, Lord, what are we, where, you know, Lord, what happened to this whole college thing? I thought I was going to college. And so often through those whole 14 years, the Lord, as I would ask him that question, he would answer me back. I just felt this in my heart. He would answer me back with a question. Carla, do you trust me? And see, that's where I had to hammer this out. Do I trust him? Yeah, he's a good, good father. He doesn't lie. What I felt was true. So, yes. Yes, Lord, I do trust you. And Carrie, a couple weeks ago, at the very end of our service, Carrie came up here with an impromptu testimony. And it was your daughter's birthday that day. And it was her daughter that had been tragically killed in a car accident. And so she came up and she gave this testimony of how the Lord walked her through one of the darkest times in her life. And Carrie, you gave us a portion of a verse that I found. It's Psalm 16:11, and it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So here's this woman who lost her daughter tragically and then went on to lose her husband. And she stood up here and she said, "In your presence is fullness of joy." That's trust. That's trusting. That's a trust walk with the Lord. Again, I'm going to go back to my dad.
just months after my mom and dad celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, my dad woke up one morning only to find that his wife, my mom, would not. And sometime during the night, my mom had changed addresses, as I put it. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:8 that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so my mom's and dad's address at that time, that's the house I grew up in, was 6507 Bethel Road. Now, interestingly enough, in Hebrew, Bethel means house of God. So their house was on the road that was named House of God. So for my mom that night to be absent from 6507 Bethel Road, the house of God, was to be in heaven with God. Such joy for those that get to go to heaven. They're there. It's perfection. It's amazing. I couldn't pray her back. But for those of us, for any of us who have lost loved ones, you know how hard it is for those of us that are left behind. For any of us who have known such a loss, you know how well it changes the trajectory of your life. For every single one of us who have known the loss of a loved one, our changed course demands us to make the decision how we're going to walk out that new path, that new direction. Are you going to walk away from God in anger, bitterness, disillusionment? Or are you going to run to him in trust and leave the whys, the what-ifs, the if-onlys, and all the unknowns to him and allow him to continue to direct your path? For my dad, 5 years after my mom's passing, God directed my dad's path to intersect with the path of another, a precious friend who knew well the pain of losing a spouse. And that precious friendship turned into a precious love. And this November, my dad and his dear wife, Kathy, will be celebrating their 13th wedding anniversary. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust him for tomorrow. Trust him for today. Trust him for your next breath. Trust him for the things that you cannot see your way out of. Trust him for the annoyances. I'm going to lighten it up here for just a second. Have to tell kind of a little funny story about a trust walk with our youngest daughter, Camille. So 2 weeks ago, we're getting ready to make our trip to Dallas or to Texas for my graduation. Now, Camille lives in Los Angeles, and she wants to fly to Wisconsin and make the road trip down with us because we're going to visit friends, and we're going to just have a fun time together, right? So she had a really, really, really early flight out of L.A. So it's 6:15 in the morning, 4:15 in the morning her time, we get this text, Scott and I both, or actually Chelsea, we all did, sorry. Please pray. The zipper on my suitcase has broken, and I don't know how I'm going to get all my stuff to Wisconsin. And so we're talking clothes, we're talking gifts for the grandkids, for me for graduation, and slightly panicking. And so, of course, we text back, don't you have another suitcase? No. And before I ask this next question, I just have to preface this by saying that we refer to Camille as our duct tape queen, because whenever you get a gift from her, inevitably there are several layers of duct tape around it. It's quite a process opening a present when you get one from her. So of course our next question was, duct tape? No. Okay, we'll pray. So we've gotten all of our options out of the way. Okay, how about if we talk to the Lord about this? What a great idea. Okay, so we prayed. Well, long story short, she always takes Uber to go from her apartment to the airport. And at about 4:20 in the morning, the Uber driver was very gracious to drive her into, praise God, a 24-hour CVS pharmacy where she was able to get duct tape. She was able to duct tape her
suitcase, and it did. It came to Wisconsin. It didn't spring open. It didn't have all its contents flying in all directions. It truly held by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. So maybe the path in your trust walk includes something as simple as an annoyance of a broken suitcase. But maybe it's dealing with fear, with illness, with emotional pain, physical pain, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, the loss of a relationship, a broken relationship, a tragedy. In the midst of my own trust walk with him, as I have shared before, often I get the first question back to me is, Carla, do you trust me? Yes, Lord, I do. But he also, not but, in addition, inevitably, there are verses that come to me. It's his word. And I don't know about you, but there are comfort verses in here that the Lord seems to speak to my heart every time, and they so resonate with me. But I also feel him personalizing it. And one of them that I want to share, and I know I have shared from the pulpit here before, and that is Isaiah 43. But in my heart, I hear him personalizing it. Fear not, Carla, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And again, I wanted to include the Passion Translation. It says it just a little different. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, Carla. I'm your Savior. And I want to share one more. And this is just one of those, you know, is there a basic verse in the Bible? I don't know. They're all so precious, but this is just another go-to for me. For I know the plans I have for you, Carla, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. As I pondered these, my comfort verses, and I pray that you have some too, this is what I wrote. Trust him with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart. Fully surrender to him. Don't rely on your own opinions. Rely on him to guide you. Allow him to lead you in every decision you make. Know him. Know that he is good. Become intimate with him in whatever you do. Trust him with every detail of your life because he is trustworthy. He knows the plans and purposes he has for you, and they are good. He knows where he's going with all this. He knows the end from the beginning, and because of it, he knows everything in between. He knows the trail. He knows the terrain, and as he leads you on this trust walk, he will guide your every step, and he'll even carry you when necessary. Trust him for what his eyes can see and yours cannot, and do not settle for anything less than his best. And for those times when you do, and we all do, we all fumble, we all fall short, we all make mistakes, but even then, and maybe even more so then, it is the time to run to him. Run to him and ask the helper, the Holy Spirit, who resides in you, for help. And he will turn it around for good. Finally, there's just a couple other verses that I wanted to just put up because they really do go hand in hand. And think about as
as you're on that trust walk, and in essence, you're the blindfolded one. You're the blindfolded one. You have to fully rely on God. And so easy for us. I mean, when we know the trail, it's so easy to just rely on ourselves. I know the trail. I know the trail. I could have done that in seventh grade, except you know what? They mixed it up. They made sure that when I led my little eighth grade boy, that when it was my turn to be blindfolded, they took us on a completely different trail. So I wouldn't have anything, any memory to rely on. It was something new. Now translate that into your walk with the Lord. He sees what you cannot see. And I know I've shared this illustration before, but when we used to go to, just a fall thing across state, there was always a maze. It was a corn maze. And I use this so often, but it's probably the best illustration I can give to you. And that was, it was a corn maze. And in the middle of the corn maze, there was a bridge. And if you got up on that bridge, you could kind of see down below and go, oh, yeah, there's the dead ends. There's how that works. Well, if you had a good memory, great, okay. But, you know, inevitably got off the bridge and like, okay, what was that again? Okay, but I picture Jesus standing up there. And I picture him saying, Carla, don't go down that way. It's a dead end. Carla, okay, that's okay. I know you made a mistake. Okay, that's okay. Just let's walk back. All right. And then, okay, take a left, take a right. And that to me is just my walk with the Lord, you know, and yet we're in communion the whole time. You know, it's not a robotic thing. It's a beautiful thing. He wants interaction. He wants relationship with us. It's what he created us for. So the final one that I put up there is, I am the vine and you are the branches. And this is Jesus talking. Those who remain in me and I in them will bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I don't think it gets any plainer than that. Without him, we can't do anything. Oh, sure we can. We can do our little routine things. We can sure fool ourselves into thinking we can do this thing called life without him. Not a good idea. Too uncomfortable, too hurtful, too painful. With him, you can trust him that in the midst of the pain, he will be with you. That in the midst of the joy, he will be with you. And that in his presence, as Carrie pointed out a couple of weeks ago, there is fullness of joy, no matter what's going on. So as you are on your trust walk with God, this is such a precious verse to remember. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. All right, well, I'm just going to end in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you. Thank you that we can trust in you. Thank you that you are trustworthy. Thank you that we can be with you in the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, the annoyances, the big, the little, the everything in between. You are there. You are there. And in your presence, there is fullness of joy, no matter what. No matter what the trouble is, we can rest untouched by the trouble. It's not in denial. It's not denying that the trouble isn't there, but it's knowing that you're there and that with you, we can do all things in you, in Christ, who strengthens us. That we can live a life of abundance here on earth. That Jesus, you came to give us life and life more abundantly, eternal life, but you're here with us now. You are here with us now on earth, as it is in heaven. Father God, we don't have to do anything alone because you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you love us, unconditionally, that there is nothing that can separate us from you. Father God, for those who love you, you work everything for good. You don't want anyone to perish. You want us all to know you. You are our creator. You are good. You are a good, good Father. May we know the truth about you and walk in that truth that sets us free. Thank you, Father. And yes, Lord, I do trust you. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.